Yesterday we began the new chapter, the eighth chapter of Masechet Zvachim, which the Rishonim referred to as Perek HaTa'aruvos, the chapter about mixtures. And the Mishnah taught us about three different cases of mixtures. The first case was an animal that's Isser Hana, an animal that you're not allowed to get any benefit from, like Shara Niskal, an ox, a cow, that killed someone, that then gets mixed up with thousands of karbanos. So now you have a problem. You're not allowed to get any benefit from this. If you'd say, well, let's take it all and we'll let them all get blemishes and then we'll sell them, that doesn't work. You're not allowed to sell something which you're not allowed to get benefit from. So therefore, you have to take all 10,001 cows, put them in a pen, and allow them to starve to death. That's the first case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah is when you have animals that you're allowed to get benefit from, but they can't be brought as karbanos. A cow that was exchanged for a dog, a cow that was used as a payment for a prostitute, a cow that killed someone, but there was only a single witness who saw it kill someone, or just the owners are telling us that it killed someone. So in all these, the cow that's the child of a crossbreed, it's not just a cow, the children of cows, it's a cow, the child of a cow and a horse. So in all these cases, if it got mixed up with karbanos, so now again, we don't say nullification, because since it's living, it has significance, and since it's something which is sold, as we'll see in today's daf, sold on its own, it's sold piece by piece, it's a davar shebeminyan, something that's counted on its own, it has significance, it has importance, it doesn't lose its identity. So what are you going to do now with this mixture of 1,000 kosher karbanos mixed with one cow that was a child of a crossbreed? You don't know what's what. So to offer all of them on the Mizbeach would be a problem. Maybe you're offering that which is not allowed to be on the Mizbeach onto the Mizbeach. That's Chulin Ba'azara. So what do? Now you have a solution. You let it all go out to pasture and let them all become blemished. Once they're all blemished, now you can remove the sanctity. So you can sell them all to people who need to bring the karbanos. People who don't need to bring the karbanos because they're all blemished. So you sell them. And with the money that you got, you can now buy new animals and bring all these new animals as karbanos. So let's say it was, you had one animal that couldn't be used as a karban. It was the child of a crossbreed mixed with five animals that were karbanos ola. You let all six get blemishes, you sell them, and now you buy five olos, and the sixth, the money for the sixth doesn't have to be an ola. That you could use for something secular. Now let's say it was two animals, a good one and a worse one, and you don't know what's what. You don't know if the good one was the ola or the good one is the crossbreed. You have to be machmir, you have to be strict. So if you sell, once they get blemishes and you sell the two of them, so make sure that the value of the good one is going for an ola. So you're ending up taking away from what may be, your value. Okay, that's in terms of things that can't be brought as a karban, that get mixed up with the animals that are karbanos. Let's say you have the other case now. Let's say you have a kosher karban that gets mixed up with chulin, and now you don't know what's what. You can't bring it to the Mizbeach because you might be offering chulin on the Mizbeach. So what you do is now you find someone who needs this type of karbanos. Let's say this karban that got mixed up was an ola. So you have an ola mixed in with, let's say, three chulin animals. You find three people who need to bring olos. And you say to them, okay, buy animals. We have three animals available to be sold as olos. They buy. Now you take all four animals to the Beis HaMikdash and you bring it to the Kohen. And here's a chiddush. The Kohen doesn't have to say, this animal is Zev's, that animal is Yaakov's. He says, this animal is for the rightful owner. That animal is for the rightful owner. What you have here is four olos, four owners mixed in together. You bring the karbanos, and that way it'll work. Let's say you have my ola gets mixed up with your ola. So you do the same thing. You don't have to sell anything. Just bring them both to the Beis HaMikdash and let the Kohen say, I'm offering this one for whomever is the rightful owner. I'm offering that one for whomever is the rightful owner of that. But what do you do if my ola gets mixed up with your chatas? And we don't know what's my ola. We don't know what's your chatas. Now, the ola and chatas are the matan dam, the giving of the blood is different. The chatas, the blood is put on each corner. The ola, the blood is thrown on the two corners to hit all four sides. So now what are you going to do? So again, so now you have to let them pasture till they get a blemish, and then you have to sell them, and with the money you have to buy new animals. So 1 second, I don't know, one was an ola, one was a chatas. Maybe the nicer one was the ola. Maybe the nicer one was the chatas. So what I have to do is I have to supplement. I have to make sure that the replacement chatas is a nice one and the replacement ola is a nice one. That's more money than what there was when I sold it. Okay, I have to supplement that for my own home to make sure that everything is covered on every side. What happens if my karban, my shlamim, gets mixed up with your bechor? So now there's a problem to let them go out and pasture a bechor. Once it gets a blemish, you don't sell it. It gets eaten by the kohanim. So now what do I do? My shlamim got mixed up with the bechor, or my shlamim gets mixed up with Meiser Behema. So we let them go out and pasture. Fine. So now what do we have? So once they've pastured, they have a blemish. Once they have a blemish, I'm not going to sell them because it's not right to sell the bechor. So what I'll do is I'll take money and I will take the holiness of the shlamim that has a blemish off of the animal and onto the money. Okay, now with that money, I'm going to have to buy a replacement shlamim. And now both of these animals can be eaten by kohanim. Because a kohen can eat the bechor and the other animal also. So now it's chulin and now a kohen can eat it. If it was a shlamim with Meiser Behema, so the owner of the Meiser Behema can eat the Meiser Behema once it has a blemish. So again, I'm going to let them both pasture, and then I'm going to take money to redeem the blemished shlamim onto the money, and let the owner of the Meiser Behema eat the Meiser Behema and the former shlamim. Finally, the Mishnah says you could have a problem of any two karbanos getting mixed up with each other, except for a chatas and an asham, because a chatas cannot be a ram, and an asham has to be a ram. One can't be an ayil, the other one has to be an ayil. So therefore, if you have a chatas mixing with an asham, you're always going to know what's what. The ayil is the asham, and the non-ayil is the chatas. That was the Mishnah.
If the Kohen is allowed with regard to the mixed up Olot, who doesn't know who the owner is, to say, this is the rightful owner.
This
is for the rightful owner. Why doesn't the Kohen do that every time he takes a carbon up? Since this is for the rightful owner, that way there's never an issue with having the Shalom mixed
Lashem up. Right. Maybe he does. We saw earlier, Rebelezer said he shouldn't have any thoughts. It should just be blank. So maybe this is another option for him. All right, let's go back to the Gemara again. So the Gemara says, "Anayin Aleph Amid Beis, Maya Filu." What is the Mishnah saying in the beginning that if you have a Shara Niskal or a Chatas Mesa, you have these Karbano, you have these animals that have to die and you can't get any benefit from them? Why do we say that even if a carbon got mixed into 10,000 of them? Of course, if it gets mixed into 10,000 of them, the whole thing is going to be a problem. So that's not what it means. What it means is the other way. If a single Shara Niskal got mixed into 10,000 karbanos, Achi Kamar, Kol Hazbachim, all karbanos, Shenis Avru Bahen, that if got mixed into a group of karbanos, Chatos HaMesos, karbanos Chatos that are supposed to be put to death, O Shara Niskal, or an ox that killed, which is also supposed to be put to death, you can't get any benefit from it, Afilu Echad Beribo, even 1 into 10,000, Yamusu Kulon, you have to put them all into jails and starve them to death. So it asks the Gemara, the point being that when you have a karban, since it's a Balei Chaim, it's a living thing, it doesn't get bitul, it doesn't lose its identity, as I mentioned this morning, after davening, Why do I need a Mishnah in Tzvachim? I have a Mishnah in Tmura telling this. Asks the Gemara. Tnina Chada Zimna. We already learned this once. We learned in Tmura. Kol Asrim Legabi Mizbeach. All the animals that can't be put on the Mizbeach. Osrim Lekolshein. If they get into a mixture, they're going to cause that entire mixture to be problematic and for it all to be prohibited, even though it's only one in a very, very large majority. What are the examples of things that can't go onto the Mizbeach? Haroveh Avanirva. An animal that had intercourse with a man, an animal that had intercourse with a woman, and there was only a single witness who saw it. So it's disqualified from the Mizbeach. So I'm Rav Ashi answered, Amitul Ishmaite Kamed Rav Simi. I asked this question in front of Rav Simi. That's Rihan. Rav Simi gave us the answer. He told us we need both Mishnayos. Dimi asked him if we would only have the Mishnah in Tmura. Havamina would have thought, Animila Gavah. When you have an animal that's disqualified from godly purposes, so then the sages suspend the biblical law. The biblical law is Achri Rabban Lahatos, follow majority. The sages suspend the biblical law and they say, no, this is prohibited to the temple, this is prohibited to the altar, it's living, we're going to say it doesn't lose its identity, the whole group now has to be thrown out. Has to be allowed to pasture till it gets a blemish and then has to be redeemed, etc. Avolhani. But in regards to the cases of the Mishnah, Avolahedjot, cases of the Mishnah and Zvachim, the first two cases, when it's Chatas HaMesa and Sharaniskal, these are things that are prohibited even to people. They're prohibited, you can't get benefit from them. So when you can't even get any benefit, so then there's going to be a tremendous loss. You don't have the option of letting it pasture to get a blemish. Same alone. So maybe here we would say that the rabbis did not suspend the law of Bittul because they don't want to cause tremendous financial loss. And there is Bittul Barov. So that's why I needed the Mishnah here. Vimeach, and if I would only have the Mishnah here, have Amina would have thought to say, when is there no Bittul? Hani, in these prohibitions, these Suriyan Naninu, because they're so prohibited that you can't even get benefit from them. That's why the sages are very strict and they suspend Bittul. Avul Hanach, but over there in Tmura, where it's Roveya Nirva, it's not Isra'na, Emalah would think that there is Bittul. So Tzrichi, that's why I need both Mishnayos. Ask the Gemara, 1 second, the Lavi Suri'ana Ninu Atana Lay. But our Tana also tells us about the cases of animals that can't be karbanos, even though they're not prohibited with benefit. It talks about Roveya Nirva, actually explicitly in the Mishnah. So my answer is Mikatani Bekama, but does our Mishnah say that it doesn't lose its identity at all? Our Mishnah just said that when you have Roveya, Nirva, Esnan, Mechir, Kilayim, Yotze, Dofen, you know, all these different cases of an animal that can't be a carbon, that gets mixed up with carbonos, you have to let it go out to pasture till it gets blemishes and you redeem the holiness and you buy new carbonos. That's what our Mishnah said. But our Mishnah didn't say that even if it's 10,000 to 1, you would need to do that. It just said that it would have to be done. It's the Mishnah in Tmura that says that even 10,000 to 1, you'd have to do that because it's not batel b'kolshu. Even a tiny infraction doesn't lose its identity. So Gemara says, still, v'nisniha v'lo b'iha. Okay, so if that's the case, so then teach us just in regards to this law, in regards to karbanos, in regards to animals that are pasul, just tell us the Mishnah in Tmura. I don't need the Mishnah in Zvachim. Where it says Takanta, it's Trichole. I need the Mishnah in Zvachim to tell me that there is a solution. From the Mishnah in Tmura, I would just know that that which is disqualified to be a karban doesn't lose its identity in lots of other animals. But I don't know that there's a solution. Our Mishnah tells us that there is a solution, that if you have something which is disqualified from being a carbon, like something which was exchanged for a dog that gets mixed up with carbonos, there's a solution. You let them all pasture until they get a blemish. Once they get a blemish, you can sell the whole thing. By selling the whole thing, you took the sanctity off and put it onto the money. Once the sanctity is on money, you can go buy replacement carbonos for the carbonos that got blemished. You don't need to replace that which wasn't a carbon.
Why not ask the question the other way?
Because that tells you kol shehu. It tells you that even a tiny amount isn't bata. Our mission just says that there's no bits. It doesn't say that that would be so even with kol shehu. Ask the Gemara. This is where we had gotten up to yesterday. Ask the Gemara, Dehejo Nami Tanilik. Why do you say that we needed the first part of our Mishnah is to tell you that even when it's Isuriana, even things that you can't get any benefit from, it's prohibited to simple people, that there's no bittul. And the Mishnah and Tumur would only tell me that things that can't go onto the altar, there's no bittul. But I might have thought that if there's Isuriana, where the person's going to have such a tremendous financial loss, then there would be bittul. But I don't need our Mishnah to tell us that. We learned that also somewhere else. The Hedjo Nami Tanile, this law of Hedjot also was taught in actually Masechet Avodah Zarah. Because when you learn in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Ve'elu Asur, and here are things that are prohibited, Ve'osin Bekolshein, and they create a prohibition even in a tiny amount. There's no bittul whatsoever, no matter what the proportion is. Yein Nesech, wine that was poured for Avodah Zarah, Takrovas Avodah Zarah, offerings to Avodah Zarah. Ve'avodas Kochavim. And an animal that is Avodah Zarah. And the rest of that Mishnah actually mentions Shara Niskam, an ox that has to be killed because it killed someone. So that Mishnah teaches us that whenever you have items that are Aser Bahana, that you can't get any benefit from them, there's no Bittul Berov, they create a prohibition even Bekolshu. So then why do I need our Mishnah to tell me that Shara Niskal, Chatas HaMesa, creates a problem for the entire mixture? There's no bittul whatsoever. We already have it in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Answers the Gemara. Now starting today's daf. Tzrichi, we need both Mishnayos, the Mishnah in Zvachim, as well as the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. If I would have learned from the Mishnah and Avodah Zarah that things that are Aser Bana don't have any bittul, Havamina would have thought to say that's when there is a mixture of chulin with chulin. B'chulin. When you have some wine of Avodah Zarah that was poured to Avodah Zarah that gets mixed up with other things, with apple juice or with wine for a regular person. Avalukavoa, but when you're talking about a single animal, an ox that killed somebody or a goat that killed someone, that gets mixed up with 10,000 karbanos. Emalo nafsadina lukulu. Maybe we should say, if we're going to say there's no bittul, the mizbeach is going to lose out on lots and lots of karbanos. Why should we do that? Cause the mizbeach to lose out on many karbanos. It's not right. It's the mizbeach. Fine, people can lose, but Hashem should lose. That's not right. And therefore, I would say, let's go back to the Torah law and let's have bittul berov and offer most of them as karbanos. That's why I need the Mishnah here to say, even with karbanos, there's no bittul berov with the Suriana that are living. And if we would have had only our Mishnah and say, well, even in karbanos, there's no bittul berov. So certainly in Yenesech and Avodah Zarah, there wouldn't be any bittul berov. There wouldn't be any nullification in a majority. Maybe not. Havamina would have thought to say the opposite idea. Hanimili, maybe in Zvachim, there's no annulment. Because we're talking about Kadshim, we're talking about Karbanos. Karbanos are going on to the Mizbeach. Demayis. And it's something disgusting for the Mizbeach that one of the animals going on, it might be an animal that killed somebody, an animal that's prohibited. Avul Chulin, but when you deal with wine, mixing with wine, or, you know, an animal of Avodah Zarah, mixing in with your own stable, regular animals. Aim, I might have thought, even though that these are items you can't get any benefit from, they should be annulled in the majority. That's why Tzrichi, that's why we needed both Mishnayos. That's why we need both Mishnayos. So now the Gemara says, well, let's actually try to understand this law of our Mishnah. Vini Bakla Baruba. Why is this so? There's a goat. This goat is a bad goat. It jumped on somebody. It killed him. So it's a Shara Niska. It then runs and gets mixed up with the temple goats, with 10,000 karbanos that were waiting to be offered. So the law of the Mishnah is they all have to be taken to a jail and starved to death. Don't give them food until they all die. Why? We have a rule of Bittul Berov. It's a biblical law. Hashem said, Achrei Rabim Lahatos, follow the majority. So why can't we follow the majority here too? Why is it that there's no bittul? So I've been saying, because it's alive, etc. The Gemara is now trying to figure that out. Why is that so? Why is that so that there's no annulment? V'chitzeim, if you're going to tell me, chashivi v'lo batli, these animals are prominent. They're davar chashiv, something meaningful, significant. So since there's something meaningful and significant, that's why the rabbi suspended the biblical law of bittul berov. That's going to work according to the opinion that we're going to see soon. The Mishnah and our law that also talks about things that don't lose their identity. The way to read that Mishnah is anything that it is its way, it's normal, that it be counted. In other words, something that it's normal that people are going to sell it by a particular amount. They're going to say, okay, I'll sell you three of them. I'll sell you four of them. They're not going to just throw in another one and say it doesn't matter. They're not going to sell it by estimate. Oh, you probably have the right amount. Just I round it up. No, they sell it with precision. Not that they always sell it with precision, but that it's normal for it to be sold with precision. That doesn't lose its identity. So then these animals also, animals normally are not, you know, a seller is not just, you know, throw in another animal. It's not the way it works. It's I'll sell you 10 heads. I'll sell you 12 heads. So then it's not batal. But there's another version of that Mishnah. Not something which is often sold by count, but eshedar kulimano shanina. That Mishnah is saying something which is exclusively sold by count. So then ma'ikal amemar. And what are you going to say? When you talk about animals, it's not exclusively sold by count. Sometimes a person says, I'll sell you my entire flock. It doesn't count each one. So now animals should lose their identity. Where do we have this argument? Now we learned in a Mishnah in Arla. Mishayulo chavile tilton. A person who has packages of tilton. Tilton is a type of legume that's used as a spice. Person who sells a package, has packages of tilton, shall kilaya karen. But it actually is isuri anah. It's something where you're not allowed to get any benefit from it because these tilton, this spice, grew in a vineyard together with the vineyard. So you can't get any benefit from it. So if you have packages of tilton, of kilaya karen, says the Mishnah, yidalku, you have to burn them because you can't get any benefit. Let's say these tilton that's prohibited falls into a mixture. Now kulan, now all of these packages, yidlaku, have to be burned. We don't say bittul. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim. Chachamim say no. Yalu be'echadu masayin. You can have bittul here. Let's say there was one package of this tilson of klaya karam that falls into 200 packages. So all you need to do is take out one package and burn it. And the rest is going to be permitted. So what's the argument all about? Meir says the whole thing has to be burned. Because kol shadar kolimanos mekadesh. Any item that it's normally, that it's the way of this item to be sold by count, that it's normally counted out individually, then it creates a prohibition on the entire mixture. The Chacham and the Chacham disagree. They say Eino Mekadesh, the only thing that would create a prohibition on the entire mixture. Elashisha Dvarim Bilvad, only six things that are very prominent. Because they're very prominent, they don't lose their identity. But a package of Tilton sometimes is sold by an estimate, therefore it could lose its identity. And Rabbi Akiva Omer Shiva, it's actually seven things that are very prominent, and therefore they don't lose their identity in mixtures. Ve'eluhin, these are the seven. Egoze Perech, the walnuts of this place, Perech. Rimone Baden, the pomegranates of Baden. Chavuyos Tumos, closed barrels of wine. Chilfei Trudin. How do they translate Trudin?
Beet greens.
Beet stalks.
I guess you see the Jews always liked borscht. The beets are so prominent that even the beet stalks are prominent enough that they don't lose their identity. Kilchei Kruv, stalks of cabbage. The Dalas Yevanis, and Greek gourd. Rabbi Akiva Mosef, and Rabbi Akiva's seventh item is Kikaro Shalbal Abayis. Loaves, homemade challah, homemade loaves of bread. So, all these items, haroi l'orla, all these things that could become orla, let's say walnuts, pomegranates, wine. We're talking about if you have these items of orla, they're from the first 3 years of the tree, they create a prohibition, the whole mixture now is to be treated like orla. Haroi l'klaya kerem, things that could become kilaya kerem, namely stalks of cabbage, Greek gourd, wheat. Wheat could have been kilaya kerem that's now in a bread. So that would be kilaya kerem. We create a prohibition in the entire mixture. The entire mixture would be treated like kilaya kerem. And we learned about this. Rabbi Yochanan said, Eshedarko limano shaninu. The way to read the Mishnah is like this. According to Rabbi Meir, those items, people only sell them by count. Exclusively sell them by count. Eshedarkali manos. Those are the ones that don't lose their identity. But Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's version in Rabbi Meir is kol shedarkali manos shaninu. Things that are normally sold by count don't lose their identity. So now, going back to our Mishnah. Hanicha, if you're going to explain our Mishnah that the reason why a Shoran Niskal doesn't lose its identity, or a Chatas HaMesa doesn't lose its identity in a mixture, or these various other animals won't lose their identities in mixtures. If you say like Reish Lakish, I call Shadar Kalimano, something which is oftentimes counted, it's normal for it to be counted and sold by count. That's why it doesn't lose its identity. Elder Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that it's only Eshedar Kalimanos, things that are exclusively sold by count that don't lose their identity. So now we're back to the question, Ma'ikulamema, what are you going to say in our Mishnah? Why in our Mishnah do things not lose their identity? Amar Rav Papa answered, Hai Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, who holds that it doesn't lose its identity. Tana delitruk tziosu. It's the Tana about a liter of dried figs. And Amar, he's of the opinion, explicitly, now starting tomorrow's daf, to find Gimel, kol davar sheyesh bo minyan, any item that is even sometimes sold by count, even if most people don't sell it by count, even though it's just sometimes sold by count, it doesn't lose its identity. Afilu b'drabanan, And even something which is only prohibited midrabbanan, if it's sometimes sold by count, it has prominence. The kol shekein b'doraisa. Certainly when our Mishnah is talking about all sorts of problems that are biblical problems. Biblically, you can't take esnan and put it on the mizbeach. Biblically, you can't use shara niskal. Our Mishnah is talking about biblical problems. Certainly in biblical problems, we would say that if it's sometimes counted, it doesn't lose its identity according to this opinion, that even an Isser Drabbanan, which is sometimes counted, doesn't lose its identity. Thank you. Everyone should have a wonderful day.